Chapter 12. Idria traced a slightly elliptical orbit through the Lyell asteroid belt in the New Californian system, with a medium distance of 170 million kilometers from the G5 primary star. It was a stone-iron rock which looked like a bruised, flaking swede, measuring 17 kilometers across at its broadest and 11 down the short spin axis. A ring formation of 32 industrial stations hung over the crinkled black rock, insatiable recipients of a never-ending flow of raw material ferried out from Idria's non-rotating spaceport. It was the variety of these compounds which justified the considerable investment made in the rock. Idria's combination of resources was rare, and rarity always attracts money. In 2402, a survey craft found long veins of minerals smeared like a diseased rainbow through the ordinary metal ores, their chemistry a curious mixture of sulfurs, alumina, and silicas. A planet-side board meeting deemed that the particular concentration of crystalline strata was valuable enough to warrant an extraction operation, and the miners and their heavy digging machinery began chewing shafts into the interior in 2408. Industrial stations followed, refining and processing the ores on site. Population began to creep upwards, caverns were expanded, biospheres started. By 2450, the central cavern was 5 kilometers long and 4 wide. Idria's rotation was increased to give it a half-standard gravity on the floor. There were 90,000 people living in it by then, forming a community which was self-sufficient in most areas. It was declared independent and earned a seat in the system assembly. But it was a company town, the company being Lassen Interstellar. Lassen was into mining and shipping and finance, and starship components and military systems, amongst other endeavours. It was a typical New Californian outfit, a product of innumerable mergers and takeovers, a linear extension of its old Earth predecessors, which had thrived on America's western seaboard. Its management worshipped the super-capitalist ethic, expanding aggressively, milking governments for development contracts, pressuring the assembly for ever more convenient tax breaks, spreading subsidies across the Confederation, shafting the opposition at every opportunity. There were thousands of companies like it based on New California, corporate tigers whose spoils elevated the standard of living right across the system. The nature of their competition was fierce and confrontational. The Confederation Assembly had passed several censure motions on their dubious exports and held inquiries into individual supply contracts. New California's level of technology was high, its military products were in great demand. Companies were indifferent to the use they would ultimately be put to. Once the buyer was identified, the pitch made, the finance organized, nothing would be allowed to stop the sale. Not the Government Export License Office, and certainly not the meddlesome Confederation inspectors. With this in mind, shipping could be a problem, especially the trickier contracts to star systems operating unreasonable embargoes. Captains who took on those contracts could expect high rewards, and the challenge always attracted a certain type of individual. The Lady Macbeth was resting on a docking cradle in one of the 30-odd industrial stations coasting in a loose orbit around Idria. Both of her circular cargo hold doors on the forward hull were open, each showing a metallic cave of bracing struts coiled by power and data cables, load clamps, and environmental regulation interface sockets, all of it wrapped in tarnished gold foil and badly illuminated to boot. The docking bay was a 75-meter crater of carbetanium and composite, ribbed by various conduits and pipes. Spotlights were around the curving walls and shone dark white beams on the starship's leaden hull, compensating for the pallid slivers of sunlight falling on the station while it was in Idria's penumbra. Several storage frames stood around the rim of the bay, looking much like scaffold towers left over from the station's construction. Each of them was equipped with a long, quadruple-jointed Waldo arm to load and unload cargo from ships. The arms were operated from a console inside small transparent bubbles protruding from the carbetanium surface like polished barnacles. Joshua Calvert hung on a grab hoop inside the cargo supervisor's compartment, his face centimeters from the curving, radiation-shielded glass, watching the Waldo arm raising another cargo pod out of its storage frame.